it's our great pleasure to welcome to the for the first time to What's Next, Thijs van Zyl, who's the CEO of Everest Wealth. Thijs, morning to you and welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Aki. It's really a pleasure. Great fan of yours. So yeah, let's get into it.
Yes, well, listen, I love your background. It's a very cool background. Is that a wallpaper? What is it? It's a very, very cool background. It looks like the Statue of Liberty I can see somewhere there. So I like interesting backgrounds. What is it, a wallpaper? It's a fascinating one.
Yeah, it's actually, it's hand-painted. They call it layer spraying. So it's a guy that actually uses his talent with layer spraying, and it becomes together, it becomes a nice picture. So in the background, you'll see in the middle is the Statue of Liberty, and then on the one side is a bull, and on the other side is the New York City, of course, and it basically rectifies, you know, the Wall Street and everything that happens on the Wall Street. But I'm a big fan of the bull markets, so that's what it actually represents. I have a small bit of a bear somewhere here in my office, but I don't give the bear too much attention.
Okay. Well, you see, now you've nailed your colors to the mast, and it sets a nice backdrop to our discussion, which is going to be finance. You, of course, are the CEO of Everest Wealth. Now, for those who might not be aware, can you tell us who is Everest Wealth and what do you guys do? You've given us a few clues already.
I think Everest Wealth is the most well-kept secret in South African financial industry, if I can put it like that. So we've actually been here around for 21 years. So we're a Cat 1-2-2A hedge fund license with the FSCA, well-regulated as well. So we're also doing our own structured funds that's more focused on alternative market space, like, for instance, private equity and, of course, private debt and things like that. So those type of instruments. We're also playing in a role of living annuity structured funds. We've been in the market for 21 years. More, you know, your sophisticated upper class trust businesses, individual type of clients. But also now for the last 5 years, we've been focusing on the retail market. And of course, because there's such a big need for proper financial advice, especially when it comes to investments, onshore, offshore, alternative structures, etc. So the world is so big, it's not just 200 shares that's available on a JSE. There's a whole world out there that you can actually get some growth on.
Well, listen, I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm sure that you've seen some interesting shifts happening in the stock market globally. And some things that you've seen in the last year, increases in valuations, especially what AI is doing to the market, which must be quite fascinating. Now, there's been a lot of discourse in the recent months about delistings from the JSE. Now, as an investment and wealth management company fully entrenched in the South African market, which you pointed out, what is your stance on the JSE and investing in companies in 2024? Because, you know, we've got a big year where there's a big election, but, you know, the whole world seems to be upside down. But just in the last week, I've just seen quite a bit of interest in investing in South Africa. What's your take on the JSE and South Africa for 24?
I think, Aki, South Africa will always be some country you can't throw away in your investment portfolio. And I think, since 94, there's been about 600 companies that you had to your discretion when it came to JSE stocks. And all of a sudden, you know, systematically, we've lost those companies and we're down to about 200 companies that's available. But those 200 companies that's available is more, you know, it's not medium to big companies, medium to big size companies. It's big size companies. So it's almost like a medium and small cap companies is falling away off the JSE. And those are actually the companies that really complements growth on a portfolio. And, so the main reason for that is government regulations, the cost is just too high. And it's just too difficult to do good and proper business in South Africa like we did in the past. I mean, just over since 2016, we've lost about 300,000 jobs just in the manufacturing industry. And I mean, yeah, that makes a big issue and a big difference when it comes to medium and small cap companies. And those are the companies that we've lost over now the last 50 years. So even though, you know, there is still good stocks available when it comes to commodity stocks, when it comes to financial companies, et cetera, in South Africa, it almost becomes a type of a market we have to time the market. And I think, it's never been a market like that in South Africa where we had to start timing shares to buy shares, to let go of shares, buy and sell. In South Africa, it used to be a buy and hold type of market. Now all of a sudden it becomes a buy and sell type of market. So it's very tough to build, you know, a share portfolio just based on a JSE. And I think that's very important to see about what's happened to the JSE. Can a regulation make, you know, way for medium and small companies, small cap companies to come and list themselves again on the JSE? The red tape gets a little bit less. I think we need something like that. And of course, you know, there's a lot of things, policies that needs to have a look at as well when it comes to government to ease doing business in South Africa, easing the physical policies, the labor policies, industrial policies, trade policies, all those kind of things. So there's a lot of challenges that faces our economy that basically plays it out on the JSE. But to complement the JSE still, yes, there's always space for that in your portfolio. But to go like you were in the past, to have, for instance, of your share portfolio, 100% allocation at JSE is suicide.
Yeah, no, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you had those, you know, the stalwarts of, you know, the De Beers and, you know, those kind of shares, and SA Breweries, I remember. But yeah, times have certainly changed. And I think what I'm hearing from you is you've got to diversify. There's no doubt about it. What are the alternative investment classes that you think give the JSE the best run for its money and that you're paying particular attention to you?
I think if we see what's going on the JSE, especially, it's not to say that a company delists, it's actually going into liquidation. So sometimes a company delists because it actually goes back to the private sector to focus again on getting funding from institutional capital, maybe trusts, or maybe even private equity. Physically, if private equity fund can buy out, you know, for instance, a listed company to come back to the private sector. So there's a lot of impact, you know, and that's where we see a lot of, you know, opportunity, especially in South Africa, because if you have a look at the one thing that South Africa has to focus on is the private sector. And of course, that's the one thing that can save the economy as a whole is the private sector. So why won't you go and stimulate your own capital within a private sector as to maybe going to a public sector that's really, really struggling at this stage? So there's a lot of money still to be made within the private sector. Renewable energy, for instance, is a big factor. If you have a look at infrastructure, is a big factor. If you have a look at mining and of course commodity, if you have a look at agri, there's a lot of things that plays a big role where you can still make a good return in South Africa. But it seems like you rather have to go and look at the alternative to say to yourself, but how can I get involved in a private equity structure that is retail, that is actually on a retail product, that is actually in a building into a structured fund like we used to have, for instance, a balanced fund with a bit of cash, a bit of bonds, listed stocks. Now you have a private equity fund that you have private equity access into the private sector. You still have a cash portion that's in there and a certain amount of bonds that is actually more in a secure debt type of, you know, structure. So there's a lot of opportunities where you can still diversify in that sector.
Yeah, no, it makes complete sense. I mean, Thijs, I spoke about elections earlier, and, you know, elections, of course, are a factor in every country around the world. There's always that, you know, anticipation of what's going to happen, you know, and I've covered every single election in this country since the first one. And there's always that time just before the elections where people just hold back, you know, the wait and see attitude. And, you know, elections are a real variable in investing, right? And South Africa is no exception. How have the elections already affected local markets? Have they? What are you seeing on your side?
I think the only thing that can really be that we can see a difference is, yes, there was a little bit of an ease on the JSE and the performance on the JSE over the last couple of weeks, upholding to the election. The Rand also a little bit more stronger over the last, you know, a few days. But I think that's, again, you know, based on what's going to happen in the US, on the Fed's decision, you know, on the interest rate hikes and things like that. And of course, remember, yesterday was also a public holiday in the UK. So there's a lot of volumes that did move to the JSE over the last week or so. But I think it's very quiet. And I think, especially yourself, like you say, you've been watching the election since 94. There's not a lot of waves. I think that the main waves that gets made is between the ANC and the MK party. And there's not a lot of waves that's been made, you know. So very calm. I think also it might be a calm before the storm. The ANC seems like they're set in their ways. They're not going to lose at all. They don't even speak coalition. They just think they're going to win outright. But yeah, I think the world is definitely keeping a close eye on what's going to happen. And of course, the monetary policy, when it comes to moving money to South Africa as an international fund manager, the grey listing that we still have upon us, you know, is still going to go into after the election. We need to get off this damn list. So if we're not going to get off the list, then obviously we're not going to get the money that's supposed to flow in from the outside, from outside fund managers, because if you have a look at their mandate, they're not allowed to invest into grey listed, you know what, countries. So we need to get off to that list. We need to have a look again at our financial monetary policies, etc. We need to get some money in from outside, because the one thing is that in the past we had favorable terms if we wanted to go and borrow money. Those favorable terms as well, the world is just going to, you know, turn its back on us if we don't make big decisions and big changes. And I don't really think coalition government, and I think many people is going to hate me for this, is going to be the immediate answer. I think, yes, that is the long-term answer. But I think even if there can be a coalition, it will take at least 5 more years as a build-up to the next election to get all these policies in place, to get us off all this list that is actually keeping the world behind. So, yes, negative and positive from my side.
Yeah, you make some very interesting points. That grey listing that we've got is not very good for us. But let's unpack what you've been talking about. How much uncertainty is there in the current market? You know, just based on the different political results, you mentioned coalitions, ANC getting that majority as they have in the past, and you know, the according to the polls, you know, there's a risk that they might not get that majority, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, you know, if they get the majority or they won't, there will be some coalition. There's going to be some party talks and people talking, and I guess that, you know, after all the dust is settled, you know, we're going to be back to normal. Nothing much is going to change technically, apart from a few percentage votes here and there. Or am I wrong about that?
No, you're absolutely right. So the main thing I think most fund managers are, I won't say hoping for, but they might say, I'd rather go with the devil I know than the one I don't. Is the thing is, if the ANC might win an outright election, they'll know exactly what to do, what to expect for at least the next 5 years, because it's not really going to get a lot better. It's also not going to get a lot worse. So at least you can plan around it. So you have one or two scenarios that you can plan around. When it comes to a coalition, it's the one we don't know. So that is the one where you're going to say, okay, yes, if the ANC maybe loses with 10 basis points or more, they have to get into a big coalition, like, for instance, the DA. Not too positive about it, because as we've seen on local fronts as well, local governments, it tends to work for quite a while. But then obviously when it becomes, you know, on a government level and you started wanting to change policies, etc., then it might become a little bit of a bull ring, which I suspect. If you're going to get, maybe for instance, if they maybe lose with 4 to 5 basis points, then you might see a coalition with, for instance, the EFF, and you might see a guy like Floyd Chavago becoming the financial minister. You know, so those aren't things you really want to have a look at. So it's negative from the outside as well. But from my side as well, if we have a look at what's going on the financial markets, people are holding on to their money. The voluntary money that is used to flow through investments like unit trusts, endowments, share portfolios, it's almost like it's dried up a little bit. So it's due to two reasons. Interest rates are high, so the banks and the guarantees are quite attractive for investors at this stage to go and park their money until they see what's happening, you know, with the government elections. Government bonds are quite high at this stage, you know, so people tend to always trust the government bond due to interest rates and uncertainty. And of course, then we also have that thing about a lot of people started using their mandatory money to take their funds offshore. Okay, to physically leave the country. So we've lost billions and trillions when it comes to that. So hopefully after the election, if people are more comfortable, they'll take their mandatory money maybe that they've taken over, bring it back to SA. And of course, interest rates can systematically start going down. Then we'll see more money coming back into listed stocks and of unit trusts and share portfolios, which will then obviously, again, stimulate the lot that we need at this stage.
Yeah. No, very interesting. So Tase, looking at the backdrops that we face and the different scenarios that you've painted for us, how should South Africans approach investing during the uncertainty of the election season? I imagine that, like myself, I've got this wait and see attitude, but you could miss out on some good bargains, because I think there's some really good value in the market at the moment. What's your advice?
Yeah. So I've got something like Winston Churchill used to say, never waste a good crisis. And I think it's also very well to go into that, to say to yourself, it's exactly what you're saying. There's a lot of stocks that's actually so now undervalued and underpriced. So there's a lot of things that can still happen to those stocks. And of course, you know, when you have a look at offshore, what's happening offshore to the S&P 500, what's happening on a NASDAQ, what's happening on a Dow. So, and of course, the American elections that's around the corner. So we all know the Republicans should take this election. And of course, when the Republicans are basically in the White House, it tends to be good, proper, you know, what bull markets for at least that term of 5 years. So always make sure that you do have that diversification a little bit onto those stocks as well. And just to go on to index funds, ETFs, make it easy for yourself. Don't make it complicated. So go and chase a bit of indexes instead of choosing, for instance, 5 or 10 shares and maybe it will work, maybe it don't, those type of things. So don't overthink. I think just keep to the basics and basically read it up and go to index funds and have a look what's going on. What's the prolonged longevity of, for instance, another bull market for the US for the next 5 years. So, and of course, South Africa, as such as well. So there's nothing wrong buying a JSE index at this stage. Wait until the end of the election. If the things goes, you know, wire, then stay away from it. But if it goes, you know, to the ANC again, definitely a buy for me. You understand? Because you actually know what you're going to expect.
Yes, yes. Okay, no, those are some interesting points. If customers want more advice, people watching this right now, about the investment strategy, how does Everest Wealth help in this regard? And how do people get in touch with you?
Okay, very easy. We usually just divert to the website or Facebook. There's always something, you know, where you can say about us, go read a little bit about us as well. Go and look at what our funds look like, our structured funds. Everything is public on the website. You can have a look at our history, everything like that. And then there's a contact us button where you can put in your details and one of our advisors will get in touch with you and he will have a quick discussion with you in regards to your portfolio as you actually are at this stage. And then basically we can set up an appointment with one of our accredited advisors. We are nationwide. We have about 400 independent advisors that's on our panel. Definitely access to our funds and
to. No, that's absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for your time and sharing your insights there, Thijs. It's going to be a very interesting year with these elections, not just here in South Africa, but, you know, in the US, as you pointed out, the UK. I mean, there's lots of things happening around the world that are going to definitely influence stock markets. But if you look at stock markets over time and historically, you know, they always do this. They go up, they go down, they go up and down. But overall, you don't lose money on the stock market if you play it safe, right? And you buy those established funds that you mentioned and, you know, be wise and get in touch with people like Everest Wealth who know what they're doing and they can advise you around this. Thijs van Zyl, the CEO of Everest Wealth, thank you for joining us for this episode of What's Next.
Thank you, Aki.